And my wife and I love the Landmark Baptist Church. We love your pastor and his wife, and now Brother Destry. That's right, and his family. You folks are in good hands. You really are. Pastor, you and your wife have meant so much to us through the years. I want you to know that, and this church is a landmark in our life. Really are, and we love your church. Well, before I go any further, let's do what's right first. This is my lovely bride, girlfriend, and friend, Isabel. And I love her very, very much. She is a Brazilian. And for those of you who may not know this, she was saved in the very first church that my dad started in Brazil when she was 9 years old. A year later, we got married. I wish. No. We grew up together as friends and really good friends. And 1 year I went back to Brazil to renew my visa while I was in Bible school. And I saw her with different eyes. She didn't know, you know. And so it took some hard work, but finally she came around and I married above myself. And so I thank the Lord for her. We have three children, a daughter-in-law, and two precious granddaughters. If I had known being a grandpa was so fun, I would have skipped right to it. Isn't that right? Now, I've always wanted to say that. But you had to wait till you're a grandpa to be able to say that, you know? And so our oldest son, Fabio, and our daughter-in-law and granddaughters are in Alamogordo, New Mexico, in the United States Air Force. And our daughter Jessica is in college, and our youngest son Jeffrey is in Texas and was not able to be with us because of schooling needs. So we are here with you to report to you of what the Landmark Baptist Church is doing in Brazil. Amen. It's really good to see Brother Randy here tonight.
Yes.
And amen, Brother Joel. Listen, folks, when I drove from Cortez down, I stopped and folks, this man is serving God, his family. They are really doing a great work. So now that I went and saw your work, the next time you're on furlough, you drive to Brazil and you see our work, okay? Okay, exactly. That's exactly right. No, he is doing a great job, him and his family there. And it is true, folks, to work among the Native Americans is a hard, hard work. I saw that with my own eyes, and I praise the Lord that God is using them.
Amen.
How many of you saw the debate after church, of course? I turned it on a little bit just to see what was going on. I realized real quick that neither of them knew what they were talking about all that much, you know. And you know, it was was more of a fighting debate than it was, you know, something that had any content, you know. And on November 8th, I will do my part and I will vote. But one thing, there is no debate. God knows what he's talking about. Amen. We don't have to worry about that. And I am glad. There is no debate with God. God is in the business of saving souls. Always has been, even from the foundations of the world. And he is today still. That's what God loves to do, is save souls. And that is why you are celebrating your 28th Faith Promise Missions Conference. I love that song, "May God Find Us Faithful When he returns." You know, there is scripture that says, when he comes, will he find faith on the earth? I hope he finds us faithful.
Yes, sir.
Because we have a job to do. Since God is in the business of saving souls, that's what we must do. On Sunday, you will receive your faith promise cards. You will receive what you promised to do for missions in this upcoming year. This evening, I would like to be an encouragement to you. How to prepare for that day. how to prepare for Sunday. Because, folks, we cannot take that lightly.
Right.
This world and everything in it is contrary to what God is doing. It is contrary. Therefore, we must be contrary to the world. We must be prepared. So if you will, please open the Word of God to 1 Peter chapter 3. And someone told me that Brother Joel spake 3 hours last night. So I don't feel too very bad. Oh, 2.5? Okay. Well, thank you, brother. So right around 11, we'll Now, if that happens, Brother... Brother Joel would be really upset at me, you know, for telling that fib, and pastor won't consider me his friend anymore, and so I won't do that. Okay, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, a very important verse that you should consider in every aspect of life, but especially regarding your faith promise conference. Now, you may think, once we read this verse, Brother Horton, this has nothing to do with faith promise at all. I beg to differ with you. Before we read the verse, let me just give you a different perspective. And if you'll be so kind to allow me to do a play on words here, the theme is from the desert to the rainforest, and folks, the world is parched by sin.
Yes.
They are in dryness. They are needing the water of life. And the only way to make that happen is through faith promise giving, so that these missionaries can go and continue to go around the world, and that you may continue to go here in Carlsbad. So think about that as we read this verse in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, when the Bible says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Let's go to the Lord, our most gracious Father in heaven. Lord, I count it a privilege to preach your word. I thank you for the call you placed on my life and for allowing my family and I to serve you in Brazil, allowing Brother Joel and his family to serve you in the Navajo Nation, and Brother Barnett. Father, that you would be with them and comfort them during this time. Give them special grace even now, Lord. Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts and allow the word of God to seep into our hearts and prepare us for this task that you have called us to do. We will be careful to give you the honor and the glory for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So as I was saying, if you watched any part of the debate at all, one question would be given one and the other, and you know, it would almost seem that garbage would come out. Did you know that the world seeks an answer from you as well?
Yeah.
Not only as to why you are a Christian, but somebody's going to ask, why do you give the faith promise?
Yeah.
What's going to be your answer? Well, that's just the way my church does it. Wrong answer.
Right.
We have to be convincing. You know something? God gave us the task to preach the word. He gave us His Holy Spirit to empower us. But we have to do it.
Amen.
We have to do it. We have to prepare ourselves to be used of God.
That's right.
Therefore, we have to be ready to give an answer. Why does your church do what they do? We may have a visitor come in here, or you may meet someone out there. Well, I'm looking for a church, but why does your church do that? The Bible says we should be ready to give an answer.
Amen. That's right.
And the Bible gives us in this verse three things that we must have in our lives to be ready. Because if not, well, it might as well just be another debate. And we cannot let that happen.
Yeah, right.
You know, listen to me, please. There are some people that just maybe you will have only one opportunity. And if we, what we would say in Brazil, if you step on the ball and you fall down, or if you mess that up, then it may be their last chance.
Yeah.
We have to be ready to give an answer. First of all, the Bible says that we must sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. If we want to give an answer, if we want to have a great missions conference, it's not going to depend solely on what God does, because God is willing. God wants to. We have to be willing.
Yes, amen.
For that to happen, we have to sanctify God in our heart. Well, as I'm sure that you know, sanctify means to separate God in your heart. That He and He alone is the ruler of your heart. Now, I see this separation in two ways. First of all, yes, we need to separate from sin and the world. But the only way that's going to happen is if you sanctify God in your heart first.
Right.
We must sanctify God in our hearts.
Yeah.
If you look at Matthew 6:21, it teaches us that where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So what you need to ask yourself before you fill that card out, before you step out those doors, before you decide, and folks, it is easy in this conference to get emotional. But emotion isn't what those people need. They need the truth of the gospel. So before you step out those doors, before you go to work tomorrow, before you go to school tomorrow, before you fill out that card, you have to ask yourself, what is most important to me?
Yeah.
Is God sanctified in my heart? Is He the most important thing? Well, Brother Horton, how would I know that? Just see where you spend most of your time. See where you spend most of your money.
That's it.
And you will know where your treasure is. And may I be so bold to say, thus missionaries have to be careful for that as well. God must be reigning in our heart as well. Even Paul said that, what I would want to do, I don't. That I don't want to do, I do. That means we must always sanctify the Lord God in our heart every day. We must sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. And you might ask yourself, well, Brother Horton, how do I do that? Yes, excuse me. I want to sanctify the Lord God in my heart. That's easier said than done. You know, folks, there's a certain truth to that, because the world we live in is contrary to that. You know, how many times have we decided something and gone out there in the world to our jobs or the people we work with or work around our schools, and we find out that it's a lot easier said than done? I found a verse that really helped me, and I want to encourage you with this verse. This verse is found in James 4. If you will look with me in James, and if you don't mind, mark it in your Bible, because this is a verse I go to a lot. We counsel people in Brazil all the time with problems in their marriage, problems with their children, problems with their giving, problems with their lives. Brother Horton, what do I do? Pastor, what do I do? And the Lord gives us three steps to be able to sanctify God in our heart. Number one, in James chapter 4 and verse 7, the Bible says, first, submit yourselves therefore to God.
Yes.
You know what you have to do before Sunday is get down on your knees, whether you're at home or here. Lord, my life is yours.
Amen.
Everything I have belongs to you. Do you realize that, folks? Every breath you take belongs to God. Every cent you have belongs to God. And everything in your house, everything in your life belongs to God, because He's the one that gave it to you. Well, Brother Horton, yes, but I worked for it. Well, let me ask you this. Who gave you the health to work?
Right.
Folks, we have to realize this. It's an important thing for us to realize. Now, there may be some people, I really hope not, but there may be some, because in our works in Brazil, there are some who say, I want to go to church, but I'm not really interested in submitting myself to God because this nose belongs to me. That's an expression in Brazil, which means I do what I want to do. There are people like that. And you know, you can go down that road, but I guarantee you it ends in destruction. But if you really want to see your church succeed, and I know you do, I know you do. Folks, Landmark has had an impact on world missions around the world. And there are going to be hard times and there are going to be good times. But either way, the truth remains. We must submit ourselves to God first.
Amen.
Lord, my life belongs to You. I hold nothing back. When's the last time verbally we actually prayed, Lord, my life belongs to You. Therefore, I give You my life. Take my life and spend it on what You want.
Yeah.
Amen. We must submit ourselves to God. That's got to be first and foremost before you do anything else. Secondly, it's not only submit yourself to God, it's a sandwich. You have to resist the devil. The Bible says if you resist Satan, he'll flee from you. But you have to submit yourself to God, and secondly, resist the devil. That means if you know that certain places or certain things brings temptation into your life, flee from that.
Amen.
Stay away from that. If you know, Pastor, I tell you what, you just got more rewards in heaven, more than the thousands you already have. Thank you very much. That is something that we must do every day. Lord, my life belongs to You. And as we go through our life, resist Satan.
Yes.
Remember this. The Bible doesn't say for you to conquer Satan.
That's right.
He's conquered. Remember this. The battle is God's.
Right.
We must resist him. And the Bible promises if you resist him, he will flee from you. It doesn't mean he won't come back.
Right.
But he will flee from you. That's why submission to God and resisting the devil is a daily act. We must do it daily. And to prepare ourselves for this coming Sunday, we have to prepare ourselves. We have to submit ourselves to God. God, I want You to speak to me. And I want You to do what You want to through my life. And I'm willing to give what You want me to give. Because it all belongs to You. Then resist the devil. The Bible says, well, let's just read it. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into heaviness. The important part now. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And what? He will lift you up. You know, pride is the number one cause for the fall of man. It was in the time of Adam, and it still is. People are unwilling to humble themselves. But if you want to be used of God, it's not only submitting yourself to God, It's not only resisting the devil. When he says, go, you must humble yourself before him. He may put a figure in your mind that maybe you're scared of. He may all of a sudden say, I want you in the Navajo Indians. Humble yourself. You must submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. And humble yourselves. Secondly, not only separate, but we must prepare ourselves. We must sanctify the Lord God in our hearts and then prepare ourselves. Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is one of probably the verses most used in Bible school. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How many of you have ever read the Bible and then you thought, man, I didn't get anything out of that? Maybe our heart wasn't prepared yet. Before you can serve God, folks, you can't put the cart in front of the horse. You have to sanctify God in your heart and then prepare yourself.
Right.
Now, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved. Now, lots of professors, what they like to do is a play on words here. And that word where it says study, they tell their students, go study. And there's nothing wrong with that. But do you know what opened my eyes to this word many years ago was when I learned the Portuguese language. The word is not study. It's not. It's to try extremely hard. So I begin to realize, sort of like that word, all power is given me. It doesn't mean strength, although God is super strong. It means all authority. Because authority is power. All authority. Well, this word means you should do everything in your possible... I'm sorry, I got that English word wrong. You should do everything in your capacity to be approved by God.
Amen.
You should study it to make sure you're in church when you need to be. Make sure you're reading your Bible every day. Make sure you're tithing. Make sure you're giving. Make sure you're submitting yourself to God. Make sure you're humble to God and resisting the devil so that God can one day say, well done. We must study to prepare ourselves to be approved unto God. Do you know why, folks? Because, yes, you must be ready to give an answer. But you want to know something? People don't care about what you know until they know that you care.
That's it. Amen.
People need love. And they need the love of God.
Yes.
And so they won't listen until they know that you love them. That's the secret to being a missionary, whether in Carlsbad or around the world, is first loving people because you love God.
Amen.
That's why you have to be prepared. You know, folks, hey, if you ever do come down and visit us, go to Walmart and buy some of those capsules that says patience. Because once you get in traffic there, you'll need it. You know, I love to go and visit his work, and I'm sure there are days that there is traffic. But we drove an hour. I didn't see one car. I don't know where they come from, you know, but they are there. In Brazil, you see them. And there are times when you want to stick your arm out and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, that takes preparation to live in the Spirit. And I can't do it. Only the Holy Spirit can. I have to prepare myself. So this coming Sunday, mark my words, Satan will do everything he can to distract, discourage, and take your mind off of what's going to happen Sunday. You have to prepare yourself. Well, Brother Horton, look, it's just us here. Well, little is much when God is in it. Don't forget that. It's not in numbers. It's in quality.
Yeah.
Remember that. And last of all, I told you this was going to be quick. No 2-hour sermons. The Bible says, last of all, let's go back to our text again. 1 Peter chapter 3. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. It didn't stop there. With meekness and fear.
Yes.
You know, folks, one of the things that's lacking more than I would guess anything else in the world which we live now besides humility is people don't fear God anymore. They don't fear God anymore. They watch what they want to watch. They go where they want to go and do what they want to do. And they think, because, and if I may be so bold, this may not be your case, but I have to watch out because many times it can be in my case. They think that by going to church, everything's okay. We forget that God sees all. And if you really want your heart to be right with God, to where you're involved, you have to remember that and fear God every day. Fearing God and having meekness towards man. That doesn't mean, you know, that word meekness in Portuguese has a tendency to mean, what's the English word for it? You know, I don't think there is an English word for it. What's the Navajo word for it, brother?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. That's it. It almost means like. I don't know the word for it, but it leads people to think that word means that you need to be. I'm sorry, but I need to think of this word. Lord, help me. Almost as if you're being too timid, as in letting people run over you. That word doesn't mean that. Meekness does not mean you let the world run over you. So we are, the Bible says we're in defense of the gospel.
Amen.
We're supposed to stand. These things that are happening in our country are in large part because we let it happen.
Right.
So meekness doesn't mean that. What meekness means here is that you have a sweet, contrite spirit when you're dealing with a man instead of pointing your finger at him. You know, folks, it's really easy to condemn others. And that's what lots of religious people do, religious people. They condemn those who they think they are better than them. When the Bible says, I know where I came from, therefore I want to help you. Because God loves you. The only way that can happen is if you fear God. That's how I know when you look at the apostles, when they were put in jail, when they were beaten, they came out with a sweet spirit, a meek spirit, because they feared God.
Yeah.
And this world will try to turn you upside down. Your reaction will show how you give your answer to them. You know, that's the problem many times is we think because we're in here we're better than them out there. Do you want to know what's the only difference between them and me? Is I'm saved by grace.
That's it. Amen.
I am a sinner and I need my Savior every day.
Yes.
Not to save me, but to guide me.
Yeah.
and to purify my life for my relationship with Him. So that when others see me, they see Him. Sunday, that's what needs to happen. Every member of this church needs to walk in. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen today, what you're going to do, but my life belongs to you. So you submit yourself to God. You separate God in your heart. Then you prepare yourself at home this week. This is Mission Conference week. Actually, it's good when a person prepares all year for this. Lord, I belong to you all year, not only during Mission Conference week. And then you come Sunday ready. Lord, I fear you, and I will do whatever you want me to do. So let's prepare ourselves. Let's make this the best conference this church has ever seen.
Amen.
How about that? Because I know one thing. God, He could do it.
Amen.
Depends on what we want Him to do through us.
Amen?
Let's bow our heads. Our most gracious Father in heaven.